Let me bring it up just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit more. Okay. There is nothing more glorious than the thought that God has come to us in His grace in order that we might be forgiven of our sins. Or as we were just singing, to have a sense of freedom, the freedom that God gives us in His justification of the sinner and the forgiveness, the cleansing of sin. Let's look at that carefully this morning from Paul's one of Paul's sermons, and it will serve as our meditation for coming to the Lord's table. Let me pray for us. God, thank You for loving us enough to send Your Son, the living Word, who died and rose again, and even now intercedes for us, and for giving us Your written Word, the revelation of Your truth, that we might know what it means to come into Your salvation. Pray that You bless this time in Your truth, by Your Spirit, speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul here in our passage in Acts chapter 13 is preaching a message in Antioch of Pisidia. That is modern-day Turkey. And while he's there, he preaches in a Jewish synagogue. So there's many Jews there, but also there are some, what we would call some God-fearing Gentiles who are also there. And Paul is preaching to them. Now, there's this interesting moment earlier in Acts 13 when we are told that it was on the Sabbath day, and they went into the synagogue and sat down. That is Paul and his missionary entourage. And after the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying this: "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up and he motioned with his hand, and then he preached. He gave them the message of God's forgiveness. Now, it's a long, pretty long message that he gives, but I want to summarize it, and then he brings it to a climax in our verses, in verses 38 and 39. He basically says this, that Jesus is the culmination of history. He goes through the history of the nation of Israel, and he said it was all coming to this one moment when the Lord Jesus would come. And through Israel, through the one nation, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And then he talked about the prophecies that were fulfilled. So he talked about Jesus as being the person of all of history, and he is the one who fulfills God's promises through the Old Testament prophets. And then finally, he says this about Jesus. He says Jesus is the justifier of the sinner, from which the law of Moses could not justify us and set us free. Jesus has come to do just that. And of course, it is the Christian message that deals with humanity in such a way as this. Only the Christian faith gives the true human condition. And what is that human condition? Well, the human condition is one of great dignity and great depravity. Is that not true? Nobility and deficiency, deviancy. Or we can put it in this way: human beings, everyone in this room right now, you are of great significance. I cannot communicate just how significant you are, but also, every one of us in this room, we are great sinners. That is the Christian message, and into this great dichotomy of who it is to be human, in all of our dignity and our depravity, comes the gospel message, the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. So he enters into this. And he himself, the eternal Son of God, from everlasting to everlasting with the Father has come down, and he has taken on flesh himself. He has taken on our nature. That's how dignified we are. That's how significant we are. He took on our nature. He added flesh and blood to his eternal sonship. But he did not come just to reveal that to us. He also came to reveal that we're sinners. We need a Savior. And so he came to go to a cross. And that's what we will represent in just a moment when we come to the Lord's table. The bread, the body given, and the blood shed that our sins might be forgiven. We can put it like this in our statement of faith. It reads this way. We believe that God created Adam and Eve in his image, but they sinned when tempted by Satan. With Adam, human beings are sinners by nature and by choice, alienated from God. Only through God's saving work in Jesus Christ can we be rescued, renewed, and reconciled to God. So, that simply means we are part of this great story of salvation. What is that story? In these great themes, creation, fall, redemption, and the new creation. That is, Jesus Christ has come to reform, renew humanity in and of himself. And eventually, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We're part of that story. Now, we're created. Why were we created? We were created uniquely, unlike any other creature, to know God, to fellowship with God, and to worship God. Well, when man fell, all of that was broken to pieces. It was smashed. And so our fellowship with God was broken, and we started worshiping all kinds of things. We still do that today. There's all kinds of things that a human being will worship. And, of course, the Jewish scriptures teach this, the seriousness of sin, and all through the law of Moses, from century upon century, from bloody animal sacrifice to bloody animal sacrifice, they were reminded of the seriousness of sin. And we should be reminded of that today as well. We should understand this. Think about this as they had to think about it. But God has come to rescue. He has sought to rescue us in our condition. He has sent his own Son, namely to reconcile us to himself and to give us back this true worship of God. Jesus alone recovers man's lost destiny. And he has come to do just that. Jesus alone solves our two biggest problems, alienation from God and the forgiveness of our sins. That's what we need. Alienated from God, we need to be reconciled, and we need to be forgiven. When we talk about the forgiveness of sins, this is what the Apostle Paul viewed as the climax of his great message. He said this, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers," this is at the end of his sermon, "that through this man, Jesus, through him, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." How can we have our sins forgiven? That is the great question. How can we be just before a holy God? That is the question. The Jewish people were always thinking about this. And so Paul presents this to them in the synagogue along with other Gentiles. Now, of course, we know this. Sin is a universal experience in that we know this sense of wrongness because we have wronged and others have wronged us. So there's this sense of something wrong that needs to be fixed. But we're not able to overcome it. We've proven that throughout the centuries. It is a universal experience. It is also a universal weakness. We all are alike in this place today, all of us. We are before God as lost and helpless in our sin. Paul put it this way, All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our weakness, our mistakes, our regrets constantly hound us. The question just comes, how can my conscience be cleansed? How can this stain be removed? Well, Job said something similar. He said, I have sinned, what shall I do? That's a good question. And if Job asked that question, my friends, we should ask it. I have sinned, what shall I do? Now, entering into this question and this problem comes the good news of God's grace. This is where the gospel comes in. It is the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Those who repent of their sin and turn to Christ, embracing Him by faith, God has promised two glorious things. The first one is this. He promises justification. What is that? What does it mean to be justified? Well, that is a word of jurisprudence. That is to say, it is a word of the courts. It is the word of justice. What it means is to be declared righteous before the righteous judge, the holy judge. It means this, to declare just, to declare guiltless, or to be free from penalty. The law of Moses could not free us. It took something else. It took the coming of the Son of God into this world and Himself taking the penalty of sin to free us. He or she who accepts Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, God declares for Jesus' sake, for the atonement's sake, for the blood's sake, God declares righteous and forgiven. God accepts us because of what Christ has done. That's it. I have sinned. What shall I do? Come to faith in Jesus Christ. He is God's salvation to the world and to the individual. As the prophet Micah said would come when God's Messiah would come, He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. That's the power of God's grace in Christ. The Apostle Paul put it very simply about justification. He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the problem. And all are justified by His grace as a gift to be received through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How did He justify us? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice, a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. That's it. Placed to our account, justified through God's grace in Christ. And then there's this, not only this positional justification, our relationship with God changes. God does something for us. But the second thing is God does something in us. There's a forgiveness that we can experience in our hearts, and we need that. Justification is positional. This forgiveness and cleansing of sin is experiential. It is a sense of experience what God has done. One man said it this way when he experienced this grace of assurance of salvation, John Wesley, a long time ago, but he said this, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and of death. Or as Paul puts it to the Colossian church, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. There's the transfer of position. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son, in whom we have redemption, and here's the experience in the forgiveness of sins. This is what the church preaches. We preach this. Paul preached this. As Jesus Himself said, the resurrected Christ said this to His apostles, commissioning them to preach, and to the church, He said this, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations. We proclaim this gospel of grace in Christ. We preach this. We sing this. What have we been singing about this morning? The redemptive love of God. The freeing power of God through Christ and His Holy Spirit. We sing it. Christians sing a lot. Other faiths don't sing at all. There's no singing in a Muslim mosque. There's no singing in a Buddhist pagoda. There's no singing in a Hindu temple. But in the house of God, we sing of His redeeming grace, the saving power in Jesus Christ. We sing things like, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be for sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hands no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. That's what we do. That's what we sing. That is the faith. That is the gospel. That's the gladness that a child can experience. This is the rejoicing that a teenager can enjoy. This is the grace that will sanctify a young man and a young woman as they start a family, as they build that family upon the rock of Jesus Christ. That is the comfort of old age and the aged, the strength and the refuge in the hour of death. This is it, our gospel, the forgiveness of sins. The central song in all of glory, we will sing to a Lamb who was slain on our behalf. And that is the invitation of the Holy Spirit this morning. The invitation of the Spirit pressed upon our hearts is to receive Christ and all that He has offered, who He is and what He has done, His person and His work. I come to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit presses upon our hearts. The Lord Jesus Himself told us to remember what He has done. And when we come, we remember. When we come to this table, Jesus, in Matthew 26, Jesus, as they were eating, He took the bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Why? Why all of this? For the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray.